The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. For as long as I can remember, growing up middle class out in Pomona, so essentially Los Angeles suburbs in California. But as long as I can remember, I have known and I have been taught about the American dream. It's just been part of the culture. The idea that a person can rise out of poverty if they work hard enough, and that everyone has an equal chance of success or failure, and that we're dependent on ourselves alone and no one else. The concept of the American dream plays into the ideal that we all play into of upward mobility. We all want more, are expected to get more, we're expected to demand more, we're expected to ask for more. And we rarely stop to engage in the concept of enough. And so we get caught in a cycle, and myself included, let me be clear, preaching to the choir right here in this pulpit. We get caught in a cycle of wanting more, of thinking we don't have all that we need. And if we are successful or to be deemed successful, we need to figure out to be a way to be better. Not just better, but also better than the person next to us, because that's how we judge. So we need to be smarter, more beautiful, more handsome. We need a better or bigger or faster car, better appliances in your home, better clothes or shoes, a bigger house, more than one home. Now, before you all get your hackles up and think that Reverend Rachel is on one of her tears today, let me pause to say that there is not anything wrong with where any of us are in these categories. We're on journeys. There is no right and wrong. However, this situation leads to the crux of the gospel today. You see, where we are in this idea of upward mobility brings us to that moment where you see, we don't really want to ask any hard questions. See, we don't want to ask ourselves, much less really live into what might be enough. We don't ask ourselves why Los Angeles is one of the most difficult counties in which to live the American dream. It is one of the most difficult counties in which one can move out of poverty and get to a living wage. New York Times, 4 days ago, great article, read it. We don't ask ourselves what we could do without, so that others can have enough. In short, we don't tend to ask ourselves questions we don't want the answer to, or perhaps we know the answer to, but we don't like the answer, so we don't ask the question in the first place. And the beauty of that is, if you will, puts us right in the shoes of the disciples today. Pick your disciple. You see, we have this perfect setup in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus, for the second time, predicts his suffering and his death and his resurrection. In Mark, we get it three times. So this is the second. And the first time he predicts his death, anybody remember what happens? Good, don't worry, it's summer-ish, it's warm. When he tells the disciples, look, this is what's going to happen, Peter pulls him aside and goes, Jesus, this is not what's going to happen. This is not the plan for the Messiah. And Jesus looks at him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Got it? That was the first time. So now Jesus comes, he pulls him aside, it's just them, tells them all this again. And the disciples say nothing because they don't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Every time I've read that phrase, afraid to ask him, I have to wonder, what were they afraid of? Were they afraid Jesus would call that disciple out as he did with Peter? Or were they afraid that Jesus or the other disciples would mock them for not understanding? Or were they worried that if they asked Jesus, they knew that he would say the same was expected of them, which Jesus was going to do himself? And maybe they were afraid to ask because they didn't like that answer. It was too much. So the disciples stay silent on the passion prediction and instead turn their attention to the great discussion of upward mobility. Or in short, who's the greatest among them all? Except for, unlike the disciples, Jesus has no problem asking the hard questions. You know when your parents overhear something and you're like, how did they know that? That's this moment with Jesus. Jesus kind of gathers them all in and goes, so just what were you talking about on the road to Capernaum? And the disciples, they all know they're busted. Totally busted, because Jesus is certainly not about who is the greatest. And they realize maybe that they chose to talk about what was safe or the norm or expected. And yet in that, they were shying away from asking the hard questions in the first place. But see, Jesus, being Jesus, knows what their questions are. He knows that they don't understand, and he knows that they are afraid to ask. So he gives them the answer anyway. And Jesus also gives, at the same time, the answer to us in some of our hard questions. You see, Roman society in Jerusalem was actually worse with an income gap than in the United States today. And while the income gap is growing in the United States, it was so great in Jerusalem and in the Roman Empire that there was no middle class. You were either here or you were there. And if those who had lived their lives as they were wont to do, and those who had not spent their days and their nights trying all that they could do to get by. And so to that end, children were disposable. Because let's be honest, children are just sucking off the system until they can contribute to the greater family. Okay, maybe not now, but that was kind of what was seen then. And so the other issue is that children, health regulations not being even thought of at the time, well, a little bit with kosher, but children also tended to die. And so children truly were the least of these. They weren't contributing. They might not make it. And so until you became a contributing member, meh, we'll see if you make it. So given these two concepts at the time, Jesus answers what it means to follow him. Jesus tells them what the meaning of the passion is by saying that really to be great, that really to engage in a faithful upward mobility, to really follow Jesus, we have to turn the tables and reverse the system, and we have to become not the greatest of all, but the last of all. Not the director of all, but the servant to all. And then he does this unthinkable by taking this worthless child and bringing this child into the middle of the circle and saying, this is who you are to welcome. And he doesn't say you have to welcome all of the orphans in all of Jerusalem and bring them here and set up an orphanage. He doesn't say you have to be sure that you educate everybody equally, although he probably would have. He just says, just one. Whoever welcomes just one of these welcomes not only Jesus, but the complete, entire presence of God. Henry Nouwen, who is a well-known theologian in the past century, and into this one, he writes about Jesus's idea of what it is like to follow on this faith journey. And he writes about the downward mobility of Christ, which clearly is antithetical to every message that every one of us gets in our lives because we live in a Western world. Henry Nouwen goes on to say, the great paradox which Scripture reveals to us is that real and total freedom is only found through downward mobility. Can you imagine? The Word of God came down to us and lived among us as a slave. The divine is indeed the downward way. The story of our salvation stands radically over and against the philosophy of upward mobility. He goes on to say that the disciple is the one who follows Jesus on his downward path and thus enters into new life, which is what Jesus did for us and calls us into the same transformation. The gospel, Nouwen says, radically subverts the presuppositions of our upwardly mobile society. And it is a jarring and unsettling challenge. A jarring and an unsettling challenge. And I say amen to that. But it's a challenge to look at our lives differently that is so radical and so huge that, like the disciples, we struggle to even ask how. And I think, at least I can say for myself, but I think many of us don't even want to ask how because we fear the answer. It is hard to come up against the rest of the world. It is hard to buck what society tells us and our education tells us and our parents tell us and everything that we see around us tells us. It isn't just hard, though. It is darn near impossible. And yet, with God, with faith, with persistence, through communion with one another, all things are possible. If we just begin to ask the questions, all things are possible. And the example is what we did last week. We celebrated being St. Cross and said goodbye to a huge ministry that came from one person. It began with one person asking hard questions about what we could do. And that person, like almost all of our outreach ministries at St. Cross, came back with this idea and said, hey, would you help me? And would you help me? And would you help me? And would you help me? Our ministries are based on a good idea and all of us gathering around to engage in action, of asking questions of ourselves and others and beginning to have an inkling of what it might mean to sacrifice for others. Because you see, if we ask the hard questions, we just might find answers that we can live with. We might find answers that allow us not to live as either or, asking questions, not asking questions, but to live as a both and, to live into asking the questions and struggling with the answers. So the questions that I think we can ask ourselves today that the gospel demands of us is, how are we living our lives so that we live with at least one hand out, if not both, to help the least of these? I think another question we can ask ourselves was, when was the last time we sacrificed to help someone else? We can ask, where is Jesus calling us, the people of St. Cross, to engage in our own downward mobility so that it helps the least of these have a chance of that dream? Because that dream is not equal to all. And last but not least, when we walk the path of the Christ, when we truly follow Jesus, how can we begin to help ourselves learn that it is not about having more, but about having less, and in our less, making room for the least of these as our neighbor? Amen.